get you through the night.
Time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Yeah, in the studio with Hardwood Forrest Connor. Look at me, Forrest. Do I look shorter now?
You do look shorter now. What'd you do?
I didn't do anything. This chair keeps sinking with me. I don't...
Well, okay, your chair is sinking tonight. Your microphone is falling off.
I feel like I'm just descending. I'm
the incredible shrinking man.
Yeah, If my chair is so short, I just don't feel like I'm in control here. I don't know what's going on.
That's here before you is real short.
Maybe that could be the case. Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. We'll call her Shelley Soft Hands Wright. Put those soft hands on my eyes. How are you doing tonight, Shelley?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was entertained by the Southern Charmer.
And amazed.
Yeah, yeah. He really boggled our minds. The drawing that he did, that was really cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah, we'll post all that stuff on the website so everybody can check it out. So, Shelley, before we dig into some Dark 30 material, how are things going over at Wright's Coin Shop?
Fantastic. Selling out of about everything we have, so you better come see me soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, people are just gobbling up gold and silver.
Yep.
It's still a great time to buy.
It is.
And so do you have any advice for people who want to make sure that they can turn their money into more money, considering that it's going to be a weird election economy year?
Very weird year. Just don't think that you have to have massive amounts of money. You can start with any amount. We can help you achieve any goal that you want. Just come in and talk to us, and we can figure out what's best for you.
All right, and how can people call you if they want to discuss this with you? What's the number?
Call me at 828-298-5402.
That's 828-298-5402. Or they could take I-40 to exit 51?
Yes.
1271 Sweeten Creek Road?
That is correct.
Okay, very well. And, of course, Wright's Coin Shop, been a sponsor of this show for a long time. We have very loyal listeners. As a matter of fact, you just got a huge sale in from one of our listeners, right?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
And so if anybody else here is interested in taking advantage of that, just email us through speakingofstrange.com, and we'll help you out. You know, we'll work with you however we can. Forrest, do you have any thoughts on the Southern Charmer?
He was... Very interesting. I mean, he was true to his word.
Would you call him fetching?
I might call him dashing.
What is fetching? I'm not sure exactly what fetching means.
I don't know.
Like he would get your attention. I don't know. Probably. See, he's got all this business card is slick. It's got all kinds of.
That's a great business card.
I want a poster of his business to put in the Asheville Mystery Museum down in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. And we are about to start doing some ghost hunts there. We did a preliminary ghost hunt the other night, and we're not ready to say what happened, but we had a pretty wild time. In fact, you both were there.
Yes.
And at one point, Lonnie Darr, who is in charge of the building there, he told us about a room that is inaccessible there. And then he said, but lately curiosity got the best of us. And he pulled back some stacks of drywall or something like that, and there was a little portal that they had cut into the wall. And we got to peek into that room.
Really?
You weren't there? Oh, yeah, you left before that.
I had to leave early.
Forrest didn't see it. Well, you're going to have to wait because Sierra Scott was there, and he was recording the whole thing in high def. So, yeah, we got to peek in there.
Hot shot Scott.
Big shot. Yeah. Big shot, hot Scott. Big shot, hot shot Scott. Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right, well, it's Dark 30, so let's see what's going on around the world, shall we, being that it's 2012. I swear, I feel so short now. Ugh.
Well, take this one.
I don't know, is that higher than my chair?
Yeah.
Okay, I need a high chair. Okay, roll it over here. Push. Okay, and here we go, and I'm going to... Oh, yeah, that's better. That's a lot better. Now I feel in charge once again. I'm in control here. Hey, here's a story from Australia. It is about an orderly in a hospital there in Australia. And the guy is dead now. His name was Tony Williams. And they say that not only was he an orderly at the hospital, but he also was a singer. And he did a lot of singing engagements on the side. He was found dead in his home on Christmas Eve. Somebody bashed his head in with a blunt weapon. And so the Australian police are trying to determine what happened to him. And so they put out an appeal for anybody who had a relationship with him to come forth, however short. You know, if you know anything about the guy. And they heard that he had kind of a reputation as a ladies' man. Turns out, according to this story, hundreds of nurses, hundreds have come forth saying that, oh yeah, they had a relationship with him. They were getting it on! Hundreds of nurses! This guy, this orderly, he had the magnetism to draw in so many women. They say police are shocked by the endless line of women who have come forth admitting to flings with the entertainer. Now police are saying, oh, they don't know where to begin. Who could have killed him? What, Shelley?
I don't think I can actually say this on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry.
This guy, he definitely had some animal magnetism, and it's an open case, so I guess it's safe to say if there's anybody listening who had a fling with a guy named Tony Williams in Australia, sign up and get in line because they want to know about you. I don't know that you and I would have that kind of line of ladies for us if we got killed, if we got murdered for us.
Not at all.
Maybe we should reevaluate our lives and say, what have we been doing? We've been wasting time. We need to have a whole list of women who could have possibly murdered us because they were so bound up in the passion they shared with us.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well... Everybody's quiet all of a sudden. Now I'm thinking maybe Forrest is, you know, maybe you have some little harem of nurses there that have treated you, that have sweetened up your your ailments. Well, that's what a nurse is supposed to do. You know, nurses are nasty when it comes to that sort of thing. Now, I don't mean nasty in a bad way. I mean nasty in a good way. Now, let me clarify. I've never, had a relationship of that kind with a nurse. But I know guys who have. And from what I can gather, when nurses decide to have some fun, they're willing to do anything because think about what they're doing every day. They're already doing some pretty nasty stuff just as a part of their job. You know, they're seeing things, they're putting their fingers in things, they're wiping things up. And, I mean, I think that they just have a different scale for, you know, how to relate to the human body.
I mean, boundaries are a little exceeded, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. They exceed their boundaries in a good way. Well, depending on what your proclivities may be. Your particular proclivities. Okay. The bad news is sometimes it's a male nurse, you know.
Ugh.
Yeah, and they're probably a little even more twisted because we know guys are disgusting anyway. We can speak on behalf of the male species, and that's why we have this story here from Connecticut. And right now, a paramedic there is in trouble. The guy is 49 years old. He is being charged by the police because apparently, as a paramedic, he was part of an ambulance that picked up a 22-year-old woman who was unconscious. And she woke up from her unconsciousness to find him pinching her very soft... She found him applying, you know, some unwanted pressure to parts of her body.
Well, what was wrong with her?
Well, according to the story, we don't know ultimately, but she was just unconscious, and he said, well, he was just trying to wake her up. And he had heard that if you elicit a pain response in a lady, that helps wake her up. And so as
part
of his...
woke up.
Well, you're right. It did work. I guess that's the good news. So he's, you know, given a little honk honk, and apparently it went even further than that. He was really trying his best to revive her, according to the story.
Using all the equipment in his arsenal?
Yeah, the whole medical kit. All his entire medical philosophy had condensed into that one patient-paramedic relationship. And so he says, yeah, it was probably a bad idea, but I just wanted to bring her to, and I've heard this is how you do it. You touch her here, you squeeze that, you pinch this. Pain stimulus. Some people just pinch an earlobe, but some paramedics have a different philosophy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, gosh, there's a lot to talk about here, including a new bar for dogs. And also, think about this. What do you think is, according to the Salt Lake Tribune here, what do you think is the quote-unquote gayest city in America? I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
And start.
A new boy, therefore a no good girl.
For the kiddies, not for the easily offended. Now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear some of the more outrageous and controversial news as of late, because that's what we dig into during the Dark 30 hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and in fact a listener emailed me recently, and he said, I've listened to your show for years, I love it. But why do you call it the Dark 30 Hour? What does that mean? Shelley, do you know what the Dark 30 means?
I kind of do.
What do you think it means?
You will explain it much better.
around these parts, here in the more, you know, southern mountainous rural areas, when it gets dark, then everybody says, oh, it's dark outside. But after it's been dark for a while and it's really getting dark, you say, man, it's dark 30. It's dark 30 out here, man.
It's past dark.
Yeah, it's dark 30. Almost like it's beer 30, meaning we should have had a beer 30 minutes ago. So if you say it's dark 30, that means, you know, it's been dark at least for half an hour. And so it's just a way of saying it's getting extremely dark, it's late, it's that time. And, you know, there are things we can discuss here on the air, there are things we cannot, and that's why I love doing live events. You know, I'm going to be in Charleston later this month, debuting my new program. Go to joshuapwarren.com to learn about that, to learn about the radionic boxes that for a brief time we have for sale. And I've got a picture there. I was just recently on Coast to Coast AM talking about a weird picture from Chicken Hill, North Carolina. Well, actually, it's here in Asheville. Chicken Hill, a place that was a cotton mill, and a lot of workers there were subjected to terrible living conditions. Quarter of the workforce were children. A lot of them died from tuberculosis or being mangled by one piece of equipment or another. And we have a very weird photo there that I think blurs the line between ghosts and aliens. And I'm looking for input on this picture. So for right now, you'll find it posted if you visit joshuapwarren.com. You know, I was talking about being at the dentist earlier today, Shelley, and have you ever, I mean, you said you love the dentist, right?
I have great experiences at the dentist.
I've thought about, you know, being put to sleep when I go to the dentist. I go to sleep, you know, they inject me with some terrible substance, and then I wake up.
You just want them to take advantage of you.
Well, that's what I'm a little worried about. You know, that's what bothers me. I'm going to have my jaws all cranked open. Like so. I'm afraid I might wake up with, like, a Rob Zombie concert in my pants or something. I don't know what they're going to do to me. Because at least when you're awake, you can give them some feedback. But if you're out, they're like, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to, you know, I got my lunch break in 30 minutes. Let's get through this.
Yeah, that doesn't happen there. Yeah.
How do you know?
Because I know.
because the doctor's nice to you. He's nice to you when he talks to you. And he doesn't say, oh, well, Shelley, I'm going to be going on lunch break here in 30 minutes.
Shelley loves the dentist, she says. Loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why she loves it, come to think of it.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Does the dentist love you?
Hair of the dog, they call this, from the UK. They say, now man's best friend can enjoy a pint and a Sunday roast as a pub introduces beer for dogs. Yeah, it's actually legitimate here. Pet-friendly menu. Pub is selling a special beer designed for dogs so that drinkers' four-legged friends can also enjoy a tipple at the same time. It's also serving a roast covered in a cat-flavored gravy. Wow.
Ew.
Cat-flavored gravy. So you're inspiring dogs to eat cats?
I don't think that's such a good idea.
They welcome dog owners, come enjoy the atmosphere, and they say that the beer is made with malt and hops and some meat extract. And the dogs seem to have a thirst for the drink.
They seem to welcome cat owners, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a bonus if you happen to have a cat around. It says here, one of the people, let's see, the manager named Dave Carr, he owns a beagle named Franco who doesn't like it. He says, quote, "It tastes of beef. I don't want to give it to my dog without trying it first. It's pretty revolting, and my dog doesn't like it, but I've got enough people who drink my stock, so it's okay if my dog doesn't join in." Is there some kind of law against serving your pets alcohol? I mean, you'd think there would be.
Well,
they have to be 21 in dog years, don't they?
Yeah, probably. I've got a little wiener dog. Let me emphasize the word dog. We've been over this before. I have a little wiener dog, and she loves beer. If I crack open a beer, she will stand up on her hind legs like a meerkat or something, and or is it gophers or what? Some kind of creature that stands up, and she begs for it. You've seen her do this for us. I think I even have a video on YouTube that shows her doing this. And so, but you know, wiener dogs, they are of German descent, and so they've probably been fed beer and they're bred on this sort of thing. I don't know. But I wonder if in this country, if you just were, you know, pouring bowls of beer for dogs, if there would be some legal problem with it.
Well, I'm thinking maybe you just have to clean up a few more messes.
Well, probably so. It'll run through them a little faster.
Probably so.
Same as it does with people. So, Forrest, what do you think is the gayest city? And let me define this. This is according to the Advocate magazine. They have, and of course, the Advocate is a gay oriented magazine, and they apparently, according to this story here, have listed the gayest city in America, which is just, you know, city full of the most gay people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. What do you think, Forrest?
Well, right off the top of the head, I'd say San Francisco, but by you reading the story, it's probably not San Francisco.
Really?
I'd say Miami.
Now, what makes you say Miami? Just the birdcage?
The culture down there?
Watching the birdcage? Shelley, what do you think?
Well, now that he said Florida, you haven't done a Florida story tonight. You never know. Of course, it could be Asheville, you know?
Well,
I was
going to
say San Francisco first, but...
You know, that's a very good point, because Asheville has such a gay population that some lesbians call it a she-ville. Because for those of you who aren't very good at spelling, it's spelled A-S-H-E-V-I-L-L-E. A lot of people leave the E out of Asheville. So you could say it's a she-ville. So they've come up with it, though. Let's see here. They say that this is a survey that has surprised a lot of people. That they, you know, admittedly, they use some subjective criteria, including teams in the Gay Softball World Series, availability of various yoga classes, etc., etc. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will reveal the gayest city in the United States of America. And also, here's a story that's kind of good for the kiddies. Not that they should be listening right now, but it's kind of like, it's not that controversial. A mystery. The mystery of the stolen car in Australia. A bizarre case that has been cracked. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Joshua P. Warren, time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear some more controversial material, outrageous material, not for the kiddies. Thanks for spending your Saturday evening with us tonight. For the break, talking about what the Advocate magazine says is America's gayest city, it's Salt Lake City, Utah. Who would have thunk that? I mean,
a bunch of gay Mormons?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm wondering. That is the center of Mormonism, right?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And bigamy, traditionally. I know we're going to get hate mail, but isn't it historically true?
I would never have thought.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, they claim in this piece here that everybody thinks it would be, like you said, San Francisco, maybe Miami, maybe even Asheville. But no, it's Salt Lake City.
Bunch of repressed Mormons.
Yeah, yeah, maybe so. Very odd. And I wonder how, we don't want to get political on this show, but
right.
We have to think of Mitt Romney when I read this. I wonder what that means to a guy like him. Because we've never had a Mormon president, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see, as he goes through this process, what that means. You know, just how open his mind is. Oh, I mentioned this before the break. This is a story from Australia. A bizarre case, they call it, involving a stolen car. A guy in Australia left his car in a shopping complex. And he went into the store, and he came back 15 minutes later. The car was nowhere to be found, and he did what any of us would do. He reported it stolen to the police. That would be an awful feeling, wouldn't it, to come out of a store and be like, wait, didn't I park here? Wait a second, did I come out the wrong? You go through all these, you know, shades of emotion, questioning yourself, and then you realize, oh, my God, my car's been stolen. So he called the police, and they did a search. It was unaccounted for days until the new owners of a nearby house returned home. And they reported to the police that while they were away, someone had broken into their garage. You following me here? So two separate parties. Guy goes to shopping center, comes out, his car is stolen. Nearby, some people come back home, and they realize that somebody has broken into their garage. Although the roller door was closed, it had been damaged slightly and pushed somewhat out of its tracks. They opened the garage door, and they discovered inside the stolen car. Everybody's trying to figure out what happened here. Turns out the man left the car without placing its automatic transmission in the park. And after he walked away, the car rolled through the parking lot, across the road, down the driveway, and forced itself under the garage door, parking perfectly inside the garage where it remained safely undercover for, oh, listen to this, 17 days. I thought it was a few days. 17 days. So now the case of both the stolen car and the garage break-in have now been closed.
Uh-huh.
You're not buying that a car? This is Herbie? This is Knight Rider?
No, I'm not. Somewhere there has to be some video camera in the park, videotape of the parking lot, of something, some traffic cameras or something with this car moving.
It says case closed. I haven't seen the video footage. Here's a creepy story from Ohio. Another, you know, garage kind of story, but this is like a parking garage story. Police are trying to identify a man who ran up to a 16-year-old girl in this parking garage and demanded that she give him her pantyhose. And so she took off her pantyhose, gave them to him, and he ran off. And, of course, you know, the cops were called. They caught the guy. And he said that he wanted the pantyhose to fix his vehicle's exhaust system. And that he said, I turned my back when she took them off. And so, right now, they're trying to determine exactly how all this came together. They're looking at surveillance footage. I don't know how, this doesn't make sense to me. Fix the vehicle's exhaust system. Do you know how pantyhose would help with that, Forrest?
Not right offhand. I know that you can use a bra as a fan belt in an emergency situation. Yes, you can.
How do you know this?
Just random facts.
So if your fan belt breaks and you're in the middle of the Mojave Desert, you can obtain a bra somehow, legally.
Yes.
And strap it onto the fan. And it'll get you out of the desert.
It'll get you. It's not a permanent fix, but it's a temporary fix. It'll get you to where you need to go. But
Shelly, you're in luck. You'll never be stranded from that fan belt problem now.
Yeah, I'll never be stranded because I have AAA.
Well, what if you're out in the desert and you don't have a cell phone signal?
Uh-huh. Do I look like the type that would be stranded out in the desert?
Yes.
You never know. You might end up in some weird place. You are going to Transylvania.
Yes. Somehow I don't think that I will be having bra fan belt issues in Transylvania, though.
Hmm. We could probably power the whole tour bus with you, so.
You are terrible.
We'll be all right. Hey, look at this headline. Warren boy exposes himself during school lunch.
What have you done now?
I know, I'm not making this up. Warren boy. Good thing I don't have a kid, right? Warren boy. This is from Warren, Pennsylvania. A high school student lowered his pants and placed his you-know-what on a lunch table in the Eisenhower High School cafeteria. He was charged with indecent exposure and disorderly conduct. Placed it on the lunch table. What were they having for lunch that day? Was it blending in? Well, he's in trouble, needless to say. Let's see here. Here's a story about why people in Sweden are embarrassed. They're trying to change the name of some of the towns in Sweden. And they say that there are a lot of towns in Sweden that, for whatever reason, have been named an unappealing name. And I'm reading this, and I'm like, is this true? And I had to research it, and it's actually true. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what some of these names are, and then I have one of those stories that I just read and said, what? Are you kidding me? This can't be true, but apparently it is. It's about what happened when a man decided to tattoo his you-know-what. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back after these messages. For the kiddies, not for the easily offended, turn the radio off. Come back in a few minutes if that includes you. I am Joshua P. Warren. Yeah, Dark 30 here on Speaking of Strange. And, you know, the weather's getting crazy. The storms are starting. We got tornadoes. We've got snow. It's time for you to get that sunshine simple generator right now. Even if you have a generator, what happens when the power when the power goes out and you run out of fuel, right? If you got no fuel, generator does you no good. Go to sunshinesimple.com. Shelley, assume we are going to be in Europe, and some of these places in Europe have very weird names. And right now there are some people in Sweden who are concerned. They say they're embarrassed when they have to tell people where they're from. And I think the Swedish language is literally, it's actually something like, right? So I'm going to read you the English translation of that. Here are some actual towns in Sweden that there has been an effort put forth to change. One of them is, again, the Swedish name is, it literally means the butthole. So imagine having to tell people I'm from butthole. Another one here, why would you even name a place that, you know? Next we have a city called Deep Arse. Deep Arse. Okay, these are actual names. So, like, you know, if you had to write a letter, this is what you would put down. These are on a map. Meat Lake, Snot Bog, and Trollope's Mound. We've got some weird places here in North Carolina. Like Lizard Lick, and even Nag's Head is kind of unusual. But, yeah, I mean, people are now putting forth this effort to change the names of some of these places that are a little more, some of them I can't even read here. I mean, like, I could probably get away with reading that one, but maybe not. I mean, look at that one, Chili. I'm just going to, like, draw an arrow to it. I mean, it's not that bad, but I wouldn't want to say that one, you know. It's like P Islet, you know, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd get away with that one.
Yeah. And I wonder, in Europe, because they have such a relaxed, you know, attitude toward life if they just say, ho, 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 you know, that's jolly. But I would not want to have to be in a position where I had to proclaim that I was from, I'm from deep arse.
You're from the butthole?
Yeah. I took a tour from butthole to Trollope's Mound. Just weird. But I understand, of course, that from American standards, where we're kind of, you know, closed.
Repressed.
We're repressed. That most of the rest of the world is opened to naming things in a weird way and also doing things that are weird to themselves more commonly. And that brings me to this story from Iran. And usually when you read some story from Iran, you're thinking, oh, this is just going to be some, like, you know, crazy, you know, fundamentalist, you know, wacko thing. But no, actually, there's a guy in Iran who decided that he was going to be very, you know, liberally minded. I don't know what it's like when you do this there. But he decided to get a tattoo in Persian script on his you-know-what. And we, you know, that's just the safest thing we call it here on the air. Your you-know-what. His thingy. He wanted to get it on his thingy. And you know what he wanted to have tattooed? Well, you know what he tattooed on his thingy for?
What did he tattoo on his tallywhacker?
He tattooed in Iranian, Baro Besalamat, which translates to good luck on your journeys. Okay, that's suitable. And then the first initial of his girlfriend's last name. Everything went well, but after that, he realized that he was permanently excited. And that, you know, at first...
He's happy about having the tattoo?
He's very happy. But something happened in the process of you know, putting this... a tattoo on there permanently in that state. They say he's not in pain, so he's just decided not to pursue any corrective measures. Of course, the Huffington Post here has an expert who says we discourage tattooing that part of your body. I don't know how it happened, but apparently it did. And apparently that's it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, and Mobius. It's Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter there, the tweeter, whatever else you can find, the Twitter. And tune in next week for a brand new one. Who knows where we're going to be going. Join us, please. You are commanded!